Velociraptors, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat, tells 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Yo, yo, this your boy Rick Rock. Welcome back to another episode of Eyes Up Fantasy Football. We're here, we live on a Tuesday night after we just seen Derrick Henry, the Tennessee Titans, smacked the Buffalo Bills. Man, we have a special show for you guys tonight. We also have some news on Le'Veon Bell getting released from the New York Jets. And, of course, free game waiver wire pickups for week 6. Let's go. So now here are my co-hosts for today.
Yo, yo, what's up, Barry? It's your boy, Dr. Mario. Come grab your prescription.
What's going on, Barry? It's your boy, the real Jorge, going up on a Tuesday.
What up, you guys? It's your boy, JJ here, the professor. Hope you guys ready to learn. Get your homework ready.
Hey, you guys, what up, weekend? What a Monday, and what a Tuesday. Jeez, that Monday night game between the Saints and Justin Herbert. Wow. Justin Herbert, I think he's one of the best upcoming quarterbacks, but we're going to talk about him in a little bit more. Now let's go into depth into the Tuesday night game against the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills.
Let me dive into that Tuesday night game. That was the second time in the last like 40, 50 years that the NFL actually held a Tuesday night game. None other than the Buffalo Bills going against the Tennessee Titans, who were at home for the battle of the undefeated. This one, however, was won by, unexpectedly, Ryan Tannehill, and looked much better than Josh Allen, who finally was looking human after his terrific start to the NFL season this year. Ryan Tannehill, his final line was 21 for 28, completing 75% of those throws for 195 yards and 3 touchdowns. On the flip side, Josh Allen, he only completed 63% of his passes, attempting 41. However, he was picked off twice by Malcolm Butler while also throwing 2 touchdowns in this game. Final score was 42, Tennessee Titans dominating the Buffalo Bills, who were only able to put up 16 points.
Yes, it was a horrible game for one Josh Allen. He had finished the night with 26 for 41, 263 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. It was one of his rather poor performance nights. He finished his night off with around 20 fantasy points. He managed to complete 10 receptions to Stephon Diggs for 106 yards, which wasn't too good. I needed Stephon Diggs to go off. That actually messed me up in one of my leagues. And he connected also with TJ Yeldon. But on the other side of the ball was where it was more interesting, as Ryan Tannehill played like an all-star caliber type quarterback. He kept his night off with 28 for 21. 195 yards and 3 touchdowns. In my opinion, I'm not sure if it was the day of the week or maybe it's something was off, but the Buffalo Bills definitely didn't look up to the par as they normally do. I saw a lot of penalties that resulted in them giving up a lot of unnecessary yards. They could have come back, but they were so sloppy and they kept giving up third down conversions, which shot them in the foot and ended any hope of them potentially coming back. Also, they had no answer for one King Henry, who managed to come back after a long absence.
Yeah, man, this game felt a little bit out of sorts just because of the fact it's being on a Tuesday. I enjoy it. Give me football almost every day of the week. Feel me? I can watch any game. I just make it worth my while. But no, yeah, the Tennessee Titans, man, they were on fire today. I expected them to have a bad game, especially not being able to practice this week or, you know, had too much contact with each other. But Tannehill, like you said, man, had, 195 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, he rushed 4 times for 42 yards and 1 touchdown. Brown, 7 receptions, 82 yards, a touchdown. Felt like Tannehill was being like Oprah, you know, and everyone was just getting a touchdown, man. A touchdown here, a touchdown there. But, of course, like we got to mention, man, King Henry was back finally. I bet a lot of fantasy owners must have been happy to have him. He had 19 rushes for 57 yards and 2 touchdowns, man. Also, he manhandled Josh Norman, man, where King Henry just stiff-arms Josh Norman so bad, he goes flying backwards and doing, like, double flips. It was an awesome game. I was very entertained. I felt like at first it was, you know, a little competitive on both sides, but then Tennessee just ran away with it.
JJ, you summed it up. Tennessee Titans, they look dominant in this game, and Mike Vrabel was able to get an excellent game plan and was able to rally the Tennessee Titans, actually getting the first practice in this last Sunday on a short week, and to look like the team that's been playing all season after not being able to play the last 2 weeks. I'm pretty surprised how the Titans came through in the end.
At first, when I was watching the game, it felt like both teams were in a boxing match ring. They were just throwing little jabs, trying to feel out what, you know, what the team is trying to do, because they were playing on a Tuesday. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, I'm sure they practice all week. They have the normal routine, but it must have been weird for them to play on a Tuesday. I think the Tennessee Titans are the most balanced passing, rushing, and a good defense, but that's just my take on that. So it was a great game. Ken Henry, my boy A.J. Brown is back from injury. Ryan Tannehill's looking. Jonnu Smith. Wow. Yep. One of our sleeper tight ends this year. If you didn't know, now you know, you know, you know. So now, let's just change things right here. We're from the Bay Area. We're huge 49ers fans. Yes, we know what it feels like not having a quarterback. Ken Dorsey. If you guys don't know that name, slap yourself. You ain't a true fan. So we know what it is not to have a quarterback. We had to go back to CJ Beathard. That's how bad the 49ers played this Sunday. Now, I'm not going to sit here and bash Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is break down why the coaching staff let Jimmy Garoppolo play. They got destroyed by the Miami Dolphins. It's an embarrassment. The Miami Dolphins? Really? I mean, come on. I mean, we just got lit up. Akello Witherspoon, he was not scratched, but he decided not to play. He was healthy enough to dress up and to be on the bench, but not good enough to start. But then when the kid Allen is starting to get toasted, he was like, okay, now I'll come in. My take on this whole thing is Jimmy Garoppolo did not look healthy or comfortable. We have huge problems in the O-line. We have an amount of pressure now. Yes, we lost. I feel like we lost Bosa. We lost Nick Bosa. And now the season is over. I mean, what is going on? I mean, yes, we don't have no cornerbacks. Yes. I know Richard Sherman is out. Kwon Williams is out. But come on, it's what's really going on? There's got to be more to it than what we all are seeing right now. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Should we tank now? Should we collect draft picks? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Man, this game was a heartbreaker, man. I really felt like the coaching staff was all over the place a little bit in this game, man. I'm not going to put the blame on Garoppolo. I felt like they were doing good at first, just keeping it close with the running game. But then they went away from it, man. I felt like before halftime, they got nervous. They started throwing the ball more, making Jimmy throw the ball more, trying to, like, bring it closer, I guess, towards halftime. They should have just, you know, killed the clock, gone to the freaking half. I think they were going to have been down, what, 20? But they didn't need to do – they didn't have to keep Jimmy throwing that ball, man. He was not comfortable in the pocket. From time to time, you can even see that he was, like, kind of limping a little bit, even though he was trying to hide it. I feel like the coaching staff or the Niners just in general, you know, the GM, kind of feel like, you know, the toughest stretch of the season is coming, so this was a must-win for them. So they brought all the stops, and mistake after mistake happened, and it did not work out for them. I just don't know how I feel about tanking so soon. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was thinking about it the whole time when I was watching the game. I'm like, all right, we got to tank. We got to, you know, collect draft picks. I still feel like, you know, yeah, we lost our defense, but our offense is pretty much the same. We're just a little banged up a little bit. You know, hopefully after our bye, I feel like we should be much healthier. And, you know, hopefully we can try to make maybe hopefully a wild card spot, you know, especially the way they expanded the playoffs this year. I feel like we still have a good, decent shot of at least trying to make it to the wild card. So
pretty much, I just want to say that this last Sunday, the game was essentially lost due to our cornerback coach. Our cornerback coach should have never started that practice squad corner, Allen. I don't know if that guy ever has had any game action because he was getting taken advantage of early on, and that's why Fitzpatrick was able to find his receivers wide open all day long. I'm glad in the second half he finally got benched and Kyle Shanahan did something about it, but the cornerback coach should have never started Allen. Cornerback Brian Allen was terrible. He was getting dogged on by Preston Williams and Devontae Parker and Fitzpatrick. He looked like a true 14, 15-year veteran. He was taking advantage of the weak spots in the Niners defense. And Robert Saleh, I'm surprised he wasn't able to slow down the Dolphins' offense because they're not much better than our offense. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm sorry, man. I've been hating on him ever since his Super Bowl loss. It's time to cut him next season. I'm looking to maybe draft a quarterback early in the first round. If not, try to trade for a veteran quarterback. Like, I even like Andy Dalton at this point. Andy Dalton, Aaron Rodgers, we need to find some help at quarterback ASAP because I think it's too early to start talking about tanking because the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins, they look a lot more terrible than we are in this season. So I don't think we're going to get Trevor Lawrence if we were to tank because the number one pick and number two pick is already locked with the both New York Giants teams. So I think we should fight for a wild card. We should bench Jimmy, let him get healthy 100% because he needs to be 100% in order to be quarterback stardom.
I also felt like the 49ers, they've had a lackluster effort. It was very disappointing to see them fall to the Miami Dolphins. The offensive line wasn't protecting Jimmy as it should be. From the get-go, you could tell Jimmy was throwing off. You know, he looked off. You could throw from his throw mechanics. Something was just off. My biggest question is, though, the whole week they were saying he was good to play. He was good to go. And I remember even I had some doubts about putting Jimmy in. Why would they decide to put Jimmy in if he's not ready to play 100%? Why even take that risk? What are you trying to prove, you know? I was of the idea, keep Jimmy resting, play one of the backups for this Miami Dolphins game because they have something to prove, both of them, and then just save Jimmy for the big Sunday night primetime game. You gain nothing. You made everyone look like, and the organization of the team look like fools by playing Jimmy early. Then to add insult to injury, you bench him, and you say to protect him, to protect who? To protect yourself. As Rick said, I feel like this goes back to coaching as well. No creative plays, very predictable play calling. It's just like lackluster. This is not the same team from last year, guys, and it's sad to say. I almost feel bad that we kind of almost like reverse jinxed ourselves and called this the revenge tour because sadly it's turned more and more into the injury reserve tour.
Or the nightmare tour.
To nightmare tour, for real. The Super Bowl hangover curse tour.
The hangover four.
And also to our loyal listeners out there, I'm not sure if you know, but this is Richard Sherman's last year also. And the way it's going, I'm not sure if he's going to want to resign or not. I would certainly hope to keep him. He's been a great presence. He's not getting any faster. But it wouldn't be bad to keep him and have that veteran presence in the locker room, in my opinion. And once he's not fast, we could slowly transition him to perhaps a safety position. I know he has a lot of IQ, could bring a lot to the game still, even though he's not as fast as he once was. And he plays only at one side. And is more a zone corner. Fitzpatrick says dissected and played like a veteran playing with kids. So that's the answer to that. Defensive line added no pressure. The cornerbacks kept getting burnt, as Jorge mentioned. The cornerbacks coach, it falls on him as well for not making that change till after halftime. And to answer your question, I'm not sure what we should do, if we should tank or not. I think we should go for broke and try making the wild card. Why should we tank, you know? I mean, we had enough tanking the past couple of years. I say let's go for it. Let's go for the wild card. Will there be with Jimmy, CJ, or Nick? Let Kyle make the call. Just make the right call, you know what I mean? And, yes, to finish things off, I like Jimmy. Let's write things out with Jimmy. But at the end of the year, let's move on from Jimmy. I mean, guys, I mentioned it before. He's 31 years old. He's reached his peak. He's not going to learn anymore. He's not going to develop anymore. He's a game manager, not the singer you're hoping for. I know my uncle Rick often wants big play receivers like Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs to come to the Niners for Jimmy to throw at them, you know. But it's like Jimmy's not a slinger. He's a game manager. He's like a Kirk Cousins type of guy, like a Garner Minshew type of quarterback, you know. He doesn't do the big plays. So, yeah, I'm all for drafting or perhaps signing a new quarterback in the offseason if possible. Thank you for everything, Jimmy. You've been great, but here's where we part our ways.
I just don't like how everyone turns on Jimmy after he took us to the Super Bowl last year, man. Last year, everyone was praising him. You have one bad season and or a few bad games, let's say, and everyone's just turning on you. I'm like, it's
been 4 years, Jose. Count them.
Okay. He did bad the first year. He got injured the second year. He came back the third year, took us to a Super Bowl after an injury.
As the infamous Adam once said, take them knee pads off, boy.
Look, man, this is what I got to say about this, okay? The 49ers have 16 free agents coming up, okay? Trent Williams, Richard Sherman, Kyle Juszczyk, Roby Gold, Tevin Coleman, trash-ass Kendrick Bourne, Kwan Williams, Jared McKinnon, Jordan Reed, Jason Verrett, Akella Witherspoon, Jeff Wilson, Nick Mullins, DJ Jones. Come on, guys. It's selling season now. Trade those players. Get some picks. The Niners need to start selling players. You can trade Trent Williams. You can trade Jaquiski Tartt. You can trade Kwon Alexander.
Also, when you trade away those players, Ricardo, that would suggest tanking. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm suggesting my thing is I'm not saying tank. I'm saying if you want to prepare yourself for the future, you got to get some draft picks. We don't have that many draft picks. You're going to get something.
That still falls into the tanking category.
No.
That's what Jacksonville did, bro. That's what Jacksonville did.
Wait.
They're rebuilding.
We don't have no top-tier talent like Jacksonville does. No, we don't have a shutdown corner that we're going to trade. That's dumb. We don't have Trent Williams. He's a top 10 tackle, but he looks like he's not himself right now. He definitely doesn't look like that. You can get a third round pick, second round pick for him, maybe. You never know. You know, fourth, fifth round.
But I feel like just like Le'Veon Bell and the New York Jets, nobody wants a Niner player at this moment, especially how they've been performing the last 2 weeks.
I don't think Le'Veon Bell is wanted anywhere. He was selfish from the beginning by wanting that contract that he wanted to get from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he never got it. He played himself. He ended up with one of the worst teams in the league, the New York Jets. At first, the 49ers were really, really pursuing him, but at the end, Le'Veon Bell, karma is up. Biatch! Got him. So nothing we can say about that. He got released. He kept on throwing tantrums, and, you know, bye-bye, Le'Veon Bell. That's what the Jets said. I mean, then don't get me wrong. Adam Gase, as a head coach, he's a fucking clown. I'm sorry. New York Jets fans, I feel so bad for you guys. I don't know what's going on over there. How the hell would you hire a coach who got fired 24 hours earlier and you go hire him? He got fired and you go hire him. Really? Now, let's talk about the big elephant in the room. The thing, Ryan Tannehill, Adam Gase, trash, Tennessee Titans, one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Kenyon Drake, trash with Adam Gase. One of the top 15 running backs in the league last year. And yes, a lot of hype this year.
Arguably.
Hey, this year, he's not doing anything. But hey, the Cardinals don't have an O-line either. That's all Kellen Murray and DeAndre Hopkins this year. So now let's go to Le'Veon Bell. Adam Gase, trash. I mean, seriously, I don't know what it is with Adam Gase, but there's something wrong with that coach. We already saw it in his press conference the first day he got hired by the New York Jets. So we're there acting like Jorge when he's doing a podcast, acting like a crackhead. So
hey, don't be calling shit right now because you took a fat L to me. So speak up. Raise your hand before you talk.
Hey, once again. I don't think Adam Gase knows what the hell he's doing over there in the New York Giants. I mean, with the New York Jets. So now.
So I should start calling you Ricardo Gase because you don't know what the hell you're doing with your fantasy football team.
Okay. That sounds cool, bro. You're like the Oakland Raiders. I smacked the fuck out of you, and I'm not here taking victory laps like you right now, trying to get your freaking, 60 seconds of shine over here or fame over here. Cool, bro.
But why would you compare him to the Raiders? The Raiders just beat the champ.
Actually, you know what?
Because he's Ricardo Gase.
He is the defending champ, Jorge, in the league.
Who, Jorge?
Nah, bro. He's a three-peat champ in the other league. Did you guys forget?
Yeah, that's a cool story. That's past tense. from and the three leagues
he's in, and the three leagues he's in with us, what are his records, guys?
Yeah, 5-0, I believe, in one. 4-1. 4-1.
And the other one?
He got smacked by me.
Okay, okay, yeah. But those two, and then Chad is on 2-3, the league, the other league that I'm talking about. What are you in there for 4-1?
On all of them.
Yeah, you got to admit, that's some fucking, I don't know how the fuck he does that shit. Four leagues to be 4-1?
He still.
So I'm in two leagues, bro, and I'm fucking struggling. The motherfuckers in four leagues. Okay, and I'm asking, like, compare that to, like, all the leagues you're in. What are your records like? Are they, like as good like that, like, consistent?
Yeah, I'm in four leagues, and I am 4-1 in three, and in one of them, I am 3-2.
That's good, man. That's almost like close, but yeah, that's good. That's
No. I'm struggling. I'm 2-3, 2-3, 5-0, 4-1, 4-1, and 3-2.
So let's just say you lost to a guy who had Rex Burkhead in his lineup this week.
Yeah, no, I know. But once again, if I was to go the other way, 5-0, 4-1, 4-1, 4-1. 2-3, 2-3, 3-2. So I'm doing pretty good. I'm not out yet. And the thing about it, like everybody else, they all have injuries. So I could give two fucks about Jorge's 4-1 records. It's about how the fuck you start. It's about how you finish. So I give him his little 60 seconds of fame, but hey, Mario, I appreciate you saying he's a three-peat champ of a league that me and JJ never were part of, but that shit can kick rocks. That shit don't matter. He needs to, when he wins something here with us, the group, the cast, hey, he can call himself a champ. Till then, fuck out of here.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
So now we're going to go into free game. We're going to go into the name inside of hat, and we're going to give you guys the best waiver wire pickups for week 6. And we have none other than the real Jorge with his waiver wire for week 6.
I would love to kick things off here, and I would like to emphasize and focus on the running back position for this week's must pickup waiver wire, and it's none other than Minnesota Vikings running back Alexander Mattison. Right now, Dalvin Cook is dealing with a groin injury and he's currently questionable. However, I think Minnesota is going to play it smart and they're going to rest Dalvin Cook for this game. As for week 7, their following week, they're on bye. So this could give 2-week rest for Dalvin Cook to come back fully strong in week 8. Therefore, Alexander Mattison, he's going to get all the love this Sunday. And he is going against one of the weakest NFL defenses this season, none other than the Atlanta Falcons, who just recently also fired their head coach, Dan Quinn, and their general manager. So Atlanta, they're going to look depleted as they already are. And Alexander Mattison is going to get more than 150 yards and a touchdown in this one because head coach Mike Zimmerman, he loves to run the ball, and he's going to be running it all day long against this defense. Must pick up Alexander Mattison.
Good choice, brother. Good choice. For me, like you said, you know, I'm going to go quarterback this one just because, you know, there's a lot of bye weeks coming up. You know, Russell Wilson, I believe, is gone. Also, just in case you lost Dak Prescott, you know, to a horrible injury, by the way. I hope he has a speedy recovery, and I hope Jerry Jones pays him his money. For my week 6 must-add player is none other than Andy Dalton. I still believe Andy Dalton has a lot in the tank left. He did, you know, had a great career in Cincinnati. Now he's going to start for the Dallas Cowboys. He entered, I believe, what was it, with 6 minutes left in the third quarter after Dak Prescott left with a broken ankle. Andy Dalton now will have one of the best offensive lines in the leagues. Also, one of the league's most powerful offense that I felt is underused in the league. Come on, you have so many weapons with Cooper, with Gallup, with CeeDee Lamb, with Zeke. You know, I can't wait to see Andy Dalton play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm like, for the quarter that he did play with him, he threw for 111 yards, on 9 attempts, on 11 attempts for the win, man. He threw 2 deep clutch passes to Michael Gallup for huge gains so they can kick the field goal and win the game. I feel like Andy Dalton's going to shine with this offensive line, and he's going to help a lot of people win. I already have a few claims for him because I have quarterbacks on bye. So, yeah, don't sleep on him. At least, you know, it's for bye week's purposes, I would say pick him up.
Great, great pickup, JJ. Great pickup. My waiver wire pickup for week 6 is none other than Mecole Hardman, wide receiver, Kansas City Chiefs. Sammy Watkins, once again, is injured. Will be out for another 2 weeks. And guess who finally gets to shine? Mecole, finally. That speed. That Tyreek Hill 2.0. This is a very powerful and explosive offense. So, Mecole Hardman, go get him. He's only owned in 37% of leagues, and he should be your number one target. High power offense equals 2 receiving yards, receptions, touchdowns, especially with MVP, $500 million, Kansas City Royals owner, Patrick, my homie.
Thanks for that, Uncle Rick. My must waiver wire pickup is none other than Chase Claypool, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. A little background on Chase Claypool, gentlemen. He's actually of Canadian-American football wide receiver. He was drafted off of Notre Dame in the second round with the 49th pick overall. Chase Claypool has been rather slowly rising up the past few weeks. His first week finishing with a 4.7 fantasy football points. Second week against Denver, however, was slightly better as he finished off with 3 receptions for 88 yards and 1 touchdown, culminating in 14.8 points. He had a quiet week against Houston the following, finished off with a disappointing 2.4. This past week, however, against the juvenile pedestrian Philadelphia Eagles defense, Chase Claypool erupted for 35.6 fantasy football points. He finishes a historic night for any NFL rookie for 7 receptions, 110 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was also, if I'm not mistaken, he rushed for a touchdown for 6 yards on 3 attempts. Found the end zone 4 times in a breakout day. Chase Claypool is my must-add waiver wires for the week. Thank you, guys.
That's how I feel about Claypool. Great pick. He's definitely number one pick for the waiver wire this week. There you go, gentlemen. Freegame.com. Let's go. Thank you again for listening to us. Thank you to all friends, family.
Shout out to all our fantasy football leagues, all our listeners, all our loyal listeners. Make sure to ask questions on our social media and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ISUP Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sipping on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat tuss, 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.